is. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper.
Howdy, folks. I'm Sleazy P. Martini, entrepreneur extraordinaire.
Hi, this is Doc Bradley. You're listening to Quality Time.
This is Curtis Armstrong, and you're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Podcast.
And you're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time. The dangling bit.
And you're listening to Quality Time Broadcast. And they paid me, very little to say this.
Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and matches. Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and matches.
A 2-minute video of you walking into a dark room, and I think there was a fogger going off, and then you closed the door.
Yeah, my wife complained that she couldn't actually see the doll in the wheelchair.
Oh, so we had like a very supernatural type thing going on.
It's a Annabelle cut like doll in a wheelchair. Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy, I someday I want to do a 60 minutes in your house because that's probably how long I can stay.
It would have been better. It would have been better if I'd actually had the strobe light going. Then you'd actually see it's a doll. So
it was fantastically creepy, Jeremy. I didn't know what you were doing, but I was like, I need more of this. I was very invested, but I was afraid to reach out because I felt like you were going through a thing, and I just wanted to let you be.
I think if you watch it in the dark, you can almost see the doll versus not seeing it.
I saw something and I was like, oh shit. Are like you being attacked by like wild rats? Were you investigating something supernatural? I was just very excited and I was hoping it was going to come up today.
Well, so. I just got the creepy old wheelchair for the wife yesterday for $50. So,
man,
Jeremy, I want a man like you who buys me stuff like that. I want an old bedpan from a dead nursing home. Like, and just very romantic.
With the shit still dried in it.
Hell yeah. Well, with that note, welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric, and I'm joined by my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, my God. This doesn't sound problematic. Who's joining us on the program?
It's me, Ozzy Davis.
Oh, Ozzy, good to hear you.
Star of every Spike Lee joint that he's made since the 60s.
Oh, that is true. Ozzy Davis is in a lot of Spike Lee joints. That is for sure. I personally remember him from Grumpy Old Men. You know, that is he's a nice role in there, a nice grumpy old man.
Well, I was the woman having sex with everybody, and she's got to have it.
That is true. That is true. And I'm also joined by the very lovely, the very talented Miss Ashley Pontias.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi. I'm in a weird mood today. I don't know why. I'm just, you know, I'm bouncing off the walls. How are you doing?
I'm great. Glad that you're feeling energetic.
I don't know. It's all the coffee and the new diet and my lack of, I don't know. It's a lot of things. All in it. It's hitting
me.
I'm
sure. I'm looking forward to your breakdown.
It's on the horizon any second.
I can tell. I've got so much money riding on your mental health. I might finally be able to pay off my car.
Are you're betting on Eric psychotic breakdown futures right now?
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. I'm like, look, the markets don't open till tomorrow, but I've got a good forecast on Eric not being able to handle reality very soon.
Fuck yes. All right, cool. Well, I'm excited that we could all be here today. Update. I know last episode, or maybe it was two episodes ago, depending on which of the Tom Myers episodes we mentioned this on. I think it was two episodes ago. We had mentioned that you sent a card to Mike Quinlan about him bombing, okay?
That is correct.
Has he gotten this card yet?
If he has, it has not been expressed to me, though.
Okay, well, I saw Mike Quinlan last night, and like the mighty Phoenix, he rose from the ashes and had a wonderful set in front of the Parkville gentry over there at McAvoy's last night. So,
well, that is fantastic. I wish him I wish him well. Like, I'm happy to hear that. I think he needed it. I think we all have a bad set every now and again that just is soul crushingly terrible. Again, do I regret the card? No, but I hope he's feeling better, and that's what matters.
I can't wait that he's finally over it, and now he's going to get the card.
I can't wait to have another person block me this week and then immediately be like, I know who that is.
Oh, man. I don't think Mike will block you. I don't think so. I think he'll
laugh
about
it. I think we'll be fine.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's fun. Yeah. I don't know.
So Eric, what did you think of my possible song for another podcast?
Oh, I didn't rip it, but should we listen to it real quick? Do you want to hear Jeremy's new song that he wrote?
I do, but Jeremy, do you want us to play it?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Sometimes I know you like these surprises or.
No, you can shit on it if you want. I don't care.
Oh, no.
So Jeremy wrote a, I guess this is a theme song for the Cumtown podcast. Is that correct, Jeremy?
Oh, hell yeah.
You wrote a Cumtown theme song. And
they don't have one.
Yeah, they don't. They don't have any
really?
Production at all, because they just really get on and riff and make like $1 million a year. It's crazy. It's crazy how much money they make.
Fuck
I love
Joe
it.
Rogan, more Cumtown.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I love the show. I listen to Cumtown, and it does make me laugh. And Nick and Stavros and fucking Adam, whom I've never met. Listen, God bless them that they're fucking making the big bank, and we're down here doing our thing. But
hey, I'm working very hard to promote while I'm sucking dudes' dicks, okay? I'm working so hard. Like, right before they come, I'm like, have you followed my podcast yet on Spotify?
that's literally our word of mouth, is us blowing people and then asking them to follow.
You are correct. I do have Quality Time now tattooed over my tar pit, where you can scan the Spotify waves and you can be like, here, follow me, click, okay, finish on my back.
And it's well worth it. Like, she's gotten us up to 75.
Hey, you gonna suck
so
this dick? You gonna suck this dick? Hold on, give me your phone, and then you just go into iTunes and hit follow on Quality Time, and like, now we can.
I'll do that extra thing you were asking, but you gotta put 5 stars.
Yeah, no, it's actually working out super well, because I'm like, look, speaking of Quality Time, you won't spend any with me, but will you follow my podcast? I did that with my dad. I was like, I know you don't like me that much, but it would mean a lot if you would go and give us just one listen. He's like, what episode? I'm like, any episode where I don't, you know what? No, don't listen. Never
mind. Don't listen to any episode, pap, pap.
But really, really lay it on the lines like, Daddy, if you do this one thing, there's a chance I might not be a lesbian. So
there you go.
Oh, we've had that discussion. I was once like, Dad, what would bother you more, me being a slut or me being gay? And he thought about it and he goes, probably gay. And I was like, okay, cool, so can I have money for plan B?
Oh, man.
Ashley, I love my slut daughter.
I thought the answer was going to be, we're like, well, I'm a slutty lesbian, so.
Spoiler alert. I'm going to take you to the Suna Talibar.
Okay, so Jeremy, you wrote this song for the Cumtown Boys, and hoping that they will use this. So basically what you've done for Rob and Joe, you've set your targets on the Cumtown podcast. We might be invoking the wrath of their listenership by doing this, but I think we'll go with it, and let's give it a play. Let's see what happens.
All right.
Hey, kids! It's me, Punk Underground! What do you want to do today? I know, it's a place where there's lots of cum. You know where you want to go. You want to go to Cumtown. Cumtown, where there's plenty of cum for the boys and girls. Look at all the different people you can meet in come down. Look, there's Nick Mullen. It's okay. He's not really gay. And maybe over there, there's Stavros. And he's naked. Oh, the things you'll see in Come Town. Oh, maybe something you kids haven't seen before. No, it's Adam, and he's a Jew. Look, his father is giving him advice. Well, this is the place you want to be, kids, in Come Town. Everybody wants to go to Come Town. Oh, Come Town, there's a place. Well, look over there. There's Eric Clapton and Michael Douglas. Oh, it's a great place to go to. Everyone wants to go to Come Town.
There's like another 20 seconds of this song.
Wonder what's at the end.
I don't know.
Could be something.
Should I keep listening?
Sure. Why not? Sounds like children screaming and somebody chasing after them. So.
All right. Wow, Jeremy. That was good. That was like a Sesame Street from hell. I enjoyed that. That was nice.
I
don't know if it was clear enough. As soon as I mentioned Stavros naked, the children start crying. So,
That is true. I mean, Stavros, he's for adults only. Let's be clear.
He's PG-13. So.
He does.
I loved it, Jeremy. It reminded me of one of my favorite rock songs, Take Me Down to the Spermicide City Where the Dicks Are Hard and I Have Big Titties.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that.
Wow.
You know my brand. And I love it, Jeremy. It's very hot.
You did. You did a good job, Jeremy. Maybe we'll bring it to the Cum Boys' attention and see what they think.
Oh, yeah. I tried friending Mullen Nick. I don't know if that's the name.
Mullen Nicks?
Facebook,
you just friended like the brand company Mullenix, like the seed company.
or actually, there's a company that just sells testosterone from Ted Nugent, and it's called Nugentix.
Nugentix, okay.
Yeah.
Do you also get cat scratch fever?
Yeah.
Oh no, who did that? Was that?
Yeah, that was Ted Nuge.
As soon as you like rub some on your skin, it instantly starts growing hair.
Maybe that's what happened to me.
Oh, good times. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Ashley, is it time for this week's Honest Ash?
I think it is.
All right. Oh, and it's about that time again for another segment of Honest Ash. And here's Ashley Pontius.
Oh, hello, listeners. It's Ashley here. This morning, I got up thinking I had a Hemi Chrysler 300. So I began to investigate. Thought, oh no, this is bad. I discovered a giant ball of hair had slid down my crack while I was showering. I'm going to raise it to be a strong, independent woman. This has been Honest Ash.
Oh, and for more hairball updates and how that little mongoloid child that she's raising that crawled out of her cooch, check out next week for more Honest Ash. Oh, good job!
You didn't rub the hairball on the shower wall to be like something that eventually grows?
Yeah.
No, I am. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, something's off. And then you're like, what? Nope. And I have very long, lustrous blonde hair, so I knew I was like, oh, that's got to be from the top of the head. So that was fun discovery. I was like, huh, I must be losing a lot of hair. Maybe it is cancer. I don't know. You know, it's fun.
Cancer.
Well, let's hope it's not dick cancer like our protagonist tonight.
Hey, can I ask, what's that kind of cheese that kind of is kind of like rolled up into little balls? Little dick. Ball cheese?
Curds?
Yeah, kind of curdish, but it's dry and still kind of parmesan-y.
Right.
Dick cheese.
No, it's not dick cheese.
Richard cheese.
So it's a hair curd.
Gosh.
No, there is like a real cheese, and I don't think it's goat cheese. It's I don't know the name. I want to say like ricotta, but I don't know what the hell I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Ricotta cheese is very similar, yeah.
Mold into like a, it's very malleable, so you can like mold it into a ball and you use it to fill pastas and things.
Right.
You can make a ricotta cheese pussy. It's like that. You can do that.
Okay, so yeah, the only reason I mention this is because that's really what my crotch was like this morning. because the taint cheese was really bally more than usual. So
I can't explain how much I appreciate Jeremy because I've been drinking.
Just call me Jammy.
Just call me Jammy. I do like my Jimmy Jammies.
My
no,
Jammies.
So, what do you call Jeremy? He's like, Jammies. I appreciate you, Jeremy, when you share those things because I felt very vulnerable sharing that I misread a giant ball of hair that had slid down my asshole. And you make me feel like a natural woman, so thank you.
Oh, look at that.
You are a natural woman, because I'm pretty sure you didn't have a dick once.
Pretty sure. Let's.
You're pretty sure. You may have to investigate.
I had a
I like real vagina and not fake vagina.
Okay. I mean,
it is all real. It's always seeping and always hairy.
I mean, call me prejudice.
Prejudice.
Yeah,
prejudice.
I want real vagina, not just a fake hole.
I saw a when you were mentioning the cheese that you're growing in between your legs, Jeremy. I couldn't help but A, be incredibly aroused, but B, reminded me of I've been following this thing on TikTok because I find just the most abhorrent things that you're somehow allowed to show on there. There is I follow a page that does nothing but mine. I guess it's like the tonsil stones. Have you ever seen a tonsil stone before?
Ooh.
So they're videos of poking out at your tonsils and just this big white piece of fomunda that'll just come out of like the back of your neck around where your tonsils come. And the first one I almost threw up, and then I was just like, well, how big can they get? Let's see. I went through this whole goddamn page and I saw somebody almost push out a golf ball sized one, and as it came out, he was just like, oops, lost that one, and it just goes down his throat. I was like, no, you can't, don't eat that. It's in his mouth. No.
As gross as that is, until you've swallowed a huge load of cum, you don't, yeah, it's the same. It fossilizes into like stalactites and stalagmites. He wants to go spelunking.
That's kind of like the Ring of Power going back to the lavas of Mordor from whence it had come.
The funny part is, like, if you ever watched the deleted scenes to that movie, The Descent, at the very end when she climbs out, they actually pan, and it's actually just Ashley's mouth that she's finally come out of.
You just see my uvula hanging down from the top, and you're like, we've reached the final abyss.
There we go. Like, it was a long walk to get to there. Probably wasn't worth the bit, but thanks for sticking in there. Thanks for saying
saying the word uvula.
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 Did you ever see the Madonna mockumentary called Medusa? And she gets Bobcat Goldthwait visits, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I had something stuck in my uvula. And Bobcat's like, uvula, don't talk dirty!
Before we move on, because I know Eric's like dying to get us moving on.
About
the uvula, though, is I obviously, shocker, love the song WAP, and I love that she, like, it's almost like she doesn't know the word uvula, and you know it in the song,
And she's like, I want to gag. I want to choke. I want you to touch that dangly thing in the back of my throat. And every time I sing it, I'm like, it's uvula. Like, please, you have the money. Please go take an online course. You know what it is.
It's the fellatio punching bag. So
I thought
it's the speed bag.
Yeah. The fellatio punching bag. That's what fellatio. We'll call it. Ah, that like this is like my favorite comedian, Fellatio Sands.
Can I tell one more story?
He's a fat Mexican guy that sucks people off on stage. Fellatio Sands.
Can I tell one more story?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeremy. You know,
I'll try to make it quick. The highlight of my morning, the dog looked like it had to go out. We're like, whatever. He just wants to go out and play. I'm like, fuck you, dog. Just chill out. And then she vomited at least 2-3 cups worth of dog food on the floor. Then went over to the wife right in front of her chair and vomited another 2-3 cups worth of dog food right in front of her. And then we were like, okay, good. The dog's done vomiting now. And then the dog jumps up on the couch and then proceeds to vomit on my wife's blanket that's on her. At which point we both start losing it and telling the dog to get the hell off the couch. And at the same time, while the wife is like literally gagging from wanting to vomit herself because of the dog vomit, she's like, ugh! Ugh!
Nothing like some good dog vomit. All right.
We call that good quality time, me and the wife. So,
man, that's foul. I love it.
That's not, you know, that's not the ideal, but I love that you guys find your togetherness in the vomit and the fear. I love that. But you guys have just thought about it from now on, after what we just talked about, I want my new Mortal Kombat name to be the Phallic Fighter.
Yes.
Phallic Fighter. Fight.
Felicia. Felicia wins. Suck
tality. And by the way, that dustpan had a lot of vomit in it.
I just thought there was a more appropriate way for your dog to react to the Cumtown song than that. That's all I'm getting at. You know,
I'm just hoping we can help them get more listeners.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to push traffic their way. I like
right.
That's what any good podcaster does, helps out someone else's podcast and neglects their own.
I will say I have an idea coming up that listeners that has been obsessing in my mind, but there's going to be an announcement I think in the coming weeks of a special crossover promotion that it's not done yet, but it's in the works and we're chatting about it, but there might be a little special shining mini sode that you'll have to listen to two separate feeds to get to, but I think we're gonna do a little special on the Shining conspiracies and theories and stuff like that, so I'm very excited.
I think we can actually get Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, let's wonder if we could get Shelley Duvall's crazy ass up on here.
She's crazy as shit.
I was going to say, I didn't want to spoil it, but I couldn't help it. I wanted just to be like, we're going to swap me out with another crazy chick.
It's going to be good. But for this week's episode, man, we got a fun one. We are going over the 2002 classic, Bubba Hotep, which is a movie I'd never watched until literally this week. And for being such a huge Bruce Campbell fan and watching him in almost everything he's ever done, I this one had eluded me over the years. And I gotta be honest with you, it delivered big for me. It delivered big. So I'm excited to break this one motherfucking down. Where to start on the Bubba Hotep? As you know, it's a movie that stars the great Bruce Campbell of Evil Dead fame, Burn Notice, whatever fucking... I personally love him in Briscoe County Jr. That's my
McHale's
favorite.
McHale's Navy.
He's also in... let's not forget his special cameo in Escape from L.A. as the fucking plastic surgeon, which is just... it's so phenomenal.
How about Crime Wave as Rock Sandstorm?
I haven't seen Crime Wave probably in at least 20 years now. It has to be. So
and
I
he plays a cad in that.
Oh, okay. So
maybe I am a cad.
Wasn't he also in Maniac Cop?
Yes, he stars in he is one of the main characters in Maniac Cop, which I watched Maniac Cop very recently. It's a great movie too. Another one we should put on. Add it to the list, Ashley. Above the other one that I said earlier, slightly above.
You got it, Daddy. Just kidding.
Is that movie?
Huh?
Is that movie with Zadar?
Yeah, Robert Zadar plays the Maniac Cop.
Oh my gosh! I just realized he's the only person that has a chin larger than Bruce Campbell.
That is true. It is his ultimate thing. Is like if like fucking Bruce Campbell has to face off against Robert Zadar and Jay Leno, it's just a full chin off. It's just nothing but chin.
What if those three are fighting and then all of a sudden Rusty Dennis from Mask comes in to fight all three of them?
They all know the other Jay Leno and Robert Zadar form like Station Wood from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and they form Eric Stoltz from The Mask as like a it's like the mega chin.
Or I'll do it even better. The freaky guy that looks like the moon head from Nightbreed comes in and fights them all.
Oh yeah, oh, fuck shit. Yeah. Well, all right,
damn
man,
these
are really
solid ideas.
That's what we're here for. We're an idea podcast.
Let's call up Clive Barker and see if we can put this shit together.
Clive, we wrote the gayest script possible for you. It's about Jay Leno.
I'm busy with my car show right now, but you know, maybe in my spare time I can do that movie with you. You know, where my chin fights somebody. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what would we call the movie though.
Chin off.
So like the movie Face Off, but we just replace the word chin.
They didn't get the same Japanese director to do it, like Anna Ang, whatever his name is.
No, I mean, as great as that is, boys, what do you think about Stephen King's Chinner?
Ooh, Chinner. How about we call it Chin City?
Ooh.
There you go.
I got one where we tie it in with the Jews and Holocaust and call it Schindler's List.
Schindler's List.
Dang.
Okay, we have a new winner. Schindler's List.
That way we can get the money from the Jews to finance our film.
And then no, it's about Nazis, but now they realize that it's not Jews, but it's people with big chins. So it's just, and like their arch nemesis is Clint Howard. So he's the guy with no chin that just hates everyone. He hates Jay Leno and Eric Stoltz and all the people with huge chins, and he's trying to eradicate this. So they're chin Nazis essentially.
I see your chin is very large. Be a shame for you to take a shower.
I just like it. He's like, we envision a world where it's just nothing but mouth and then neck. The chin has always held us back for all these years.
The chief Nazi bitch is Allie McBeal.
Yeah, and no, they're in like all their biggest comic book hero is like Earthworm Jim, who's just a chinless fucking worm. Like that's the world the Nazis in our universe really want. So
original chin, I love it.
Original chin. All right, enough chin puns. So this movie kicks off with Bruce Campbell playing Elvis in a retirement home. They take us to Mud Creek, Texas, where we get to hear a little bit of how Elvis got to here.
I was dreaming. Dreaming my dick was out, and I was checking to see if that infected bump on the head of it had filled with pus again. If it had, I was going to name that bump after my ex-wife, Scylla, and bust it by jacking off. Or I'd like to think that's what I'd do. Dreams let you think like that. Truth was, I hadn't had a hard-on in years.
So, really takes it out of the gate right there. I loved it.
So, I think it's funny. Like, it's such a great opening monologue. But also, when he's like, I haven't had a hard-on in years. I was like, what is this, Eric Hotep? Thank you. We'll be here all week.
That's not true. I am hard all the time. I'm hard right now.
That's so weird because you remind me of a soft cheese.
Oh, no. So You see Elvis laying in his retirement home bed, and he looks over, and you could see this. His roommate is slowly dying and choking to death. And if you notice, the guy who's his roommate is actually the guy who plays old Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan. He's like the guy who Matt Damon, sorry, old Matt Damon, when he's at the gravesite, and he's like, "These were my friends that killed Nazis and had me live." And that it's that guy right there. He made it all the way through, which means that this is tied to the Saving Private Ryan universe. So this is actually a continuation where Saving Private Ryan ends. This movie begins. That's the end of that guy's life cycle. So
it's Saving Ryan's Privates.
Exactly. Shaving Ryan's Privates. My favorite Tom Spanks movie. So he dies, and we see a mischievous, heavyset old lady creep down the hallways. This lady is a little bit of a mischief. I imagine this would be Ashley Pontius when she finally gets committed in her later years, just walking around stealing old people's glasses and snacks.
No, I will wander. I will be hungry, but I will not steal from the fellow elderly. Okay, I draw a line from the lady in the fucking iron lung.
Don't paint yourself into a box, though. You don't know what you'll be into by the time you hit that age. You know, you might be full of Jeremy crazy by that time, and then you'll be into that kind of thing.
You're not wrong. I might be into the older dudes who are like 10 years older than me that wear diapers, and I'm like, I can like lower my standards.
She takes a tin of treats and she's eating them in her room when all of a sudden we see a rat-sized bug. I guess it would be called like a scarab or something like that. Kind of crawl under her bed. And then they start getting up under her blankets. And then she finally, she pipes up and says, "I'm going to squish you." And then,
"I'm going to squish you, cockroach."
And then, she does squish it, but then one of the squish bug that turns into this fucking Bubba Hotep character, which is a mummy that wears a cowboy hat and boots and looks pretty gnarly. You know what? It actually, face-wise, it looks like Kane from Poltergeist 2, if that makes sense. Just like very not, like just him in blackface, essentially.
Yes.
It's very frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And unsettling, but I don't like his teeth. His teeth are very gnarly. I don't like him.
No, I agree. There is something really off-putting about him. I will say overall, without giving anything away, I wish we had seen him more throughout the film, because I think he is like a phenomenal work of character design and all that special effects. I wish we had seen him more because I do like his look. I do think it's extra creepy.
He does. He does look fun. So that lady ends up dying ultimately right after that scene. Elvis awakes to the sound of a "Help Me," and I did not pull that.
Can I mention this role was kind of creepy for her, but not as her other creepy role?
Oh, yeah?
As Gacy's mom in the movie Gacy.
Really?
Look at that.
I did not know that. I didn't know she played Gacy's mom.
Gacy's mom has got it going on. He's clowning around and killing lots of boys, yeah. Putting them in his crawl space every day. I'm in love with Gacy's mom.
Gacy's mom has got it going on.
Fountains of Pain. Oh,
yes.
God.
She's raising a son who's going to be famous for killing boys and putting them in the crawl space.
Anyway. Beautiful.
Johnny, can I put on these handcuffs after school? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Do, do, do. Casey's mom. So it is funny, though, that lady gets kind of peeks on the ground and looks into Elvis's room and sees him. She goes, "Help me." And then she gets dragged off and he just looks over and goes, it just goes back to bed. I do think that's very hilarious. He's just not going to help this bitch at all.
Can I kind of diverge this for just like a half second?
That's weird. That's not something you normally do, but go ahead.
My favorite moment from the movie Zodiac is when he hands his Zodiac watch to the cops and he's like, my mother gave it to me. Like, he's almost choked up. His Zodiac watch was given by his mother, so...
And I do love the scene of her getting like dragged off and he doesn't do anything because it spoke to me. I was like, oh look, a typical woman asking a man for help and getting none. I love it.
Chivalry is dead.
It is.
I'm just trying to be like my hero Elvis.
So, man.
The coroners drag off the next dead body, and the coroners are played by I forgot to grab that, but they're like fellas that show up in the Devil's Rejects a lot and a lot of Rob Zombie projects and stuff like that. I forget the comedian's name.
And can you name the main coroner?
No, I can't offhand, and I should know this.
I'll give you a hint. He was in a movie that I forced you to watch called River's Edge.
He is in River's Edge. He plays the fucking dickhead in it, right?
Yeah, he plays Samson, otherwise known as John Toilet. So.
Yeah, John Toilet. He also plays the devil in a Rob Zombie video, where in a couple other Rob Zombie productions, where he's just like, oh, well, welcome once again. It's me, the devil.
Otherwise known as Geraldo from Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yes, yes, he's great.
Yeah, Daniel Roebuck, who showed up at Chiller, not even there to sign or anything, and I met him. I was like, dude, I can't even think of a Slayer song without thinking about you.
That's awesome.
And they're really not a big part of the movie. They're just the comic relief that kind of just drags people out on top of the comic relief in this movie. Elvis is still plagued by weird visions of people moving in and out of his room, maybe dementia, who knows, but a little hottie shows up and starts going through her granddad's pictures and stuff, and just throws out his purple heart and his other stuff, and Elvis asks, is like, hey, can I have that purple heart and chocolates and stuff like that? So he's it's worth noting, he's trying to steal his roommate's valor. I think that should be noted that he's trying to do that. But as she bends over to go pick it up, you see what his real intentions were.
The revealing of her panties wasn't intentional or unintentional. She just didn't give a damn. She saw me as so physically and sexually non-threatening, she didn't mind if I got a bird's eye view of her love nest. It was the same to her as a house cat sneaking a peek. I felt my pecker flutter once like a pigeon having a heart attack, and then lay back down and remain limp and still. Of course, these days, even a flutter was kind of reassuring.
I fucking love how poetically he talks about his non-working dick. It is just, it's just poetry to my ears. So,
a great movie about ED.
Yeah, it really is. You know, Blue Chew should have sponsored this movie, or should just have a re-release brought to you by Blue Chew.
Hey, I wish we could get a sponsorship from Blue Chew, much like Cumtown does.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Oh, we'll look into it. He gives Callie what for not visiting her old granddad, and the nurse comes in, and she starts calling him Mr. Half, because we find out that he isn't necessarily Elvis, or is he?
When you like to play sometime, you were an Elvis impersonator, remember? You fell off a stage and broke your hip? What was it? 20 years ago. It got infected and you were in a coma for quite a while. You came out with a few problems.
Look, I was just impersonating myself, okay? I couldn't do nothing else. I don't have any problems. You're trying to say my brain's messed up, aren't you?
Why would you want to be somebody else?
Got tired of it. I was hooked on pills, you know. I wanted out. And this boy, Sebastian Half, he was an Elvis imitator. He's the best of them. He took my place. The problem is he had a bad heart. He liked drugs too. Liked them more than I did. So it was him that died, not me. I just took his place.
But why would you want to leave all that fame, Mr. Presley? All that money?
I don't know. Because they got old.
Whoa, because it got old. He then goes on to explain that Priscilla was gone and left him behind, and we get a flashback of him meeting Sebastian, who's also played by Bruce Campbell, and they trade lives, and he accidentally blows up his own birth certificate in a barbecue accident, which is, you know, who amongst us has that not happened to, you know, where you leave your fucking barbecue like lit with gasoline and it blows up your trailer, you know, it just happens.
I think this is a... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that me and Amy Schumer actually did that. We switched lives, and look where I am now.
I'm Amy Schumer.
At least you're still skinny. My God.
I'm Amy Schumer now, okay? I'm trans Schumer. So next, we meet...
Hey! I want to get in line on this.
Okay,
this
go. Train.
No, it was a great double role for Campbell, where he plays himself, he plays the fake and the real Elvis as he meets. So, oh, it's really really great to meet you. I didn't think you'd come. So,
and he's just a slightly less fatter version of himself. That's all he is. He's like, oh yeah, this is great, and you'll go be the Elvis impersonator. You'll be the real Elvis.
It's like 2019 Ashley versus 2020 Ashley.
So after that, we get to meet Elvis's only friend, Crazy Ass Jack, who does believe that he is JFK, played by the great Ozzie Davis, as Jeremy mentioned before.
Jack, no offense, but President Kennedy was a white man.
That's how clever they are. They dyed me this color, all over. Can you think of a better way to hide the truth than that?
So, yeah. Just...
God bless Ozzie Davis from the original Stand as well. So.
Oh, yeah, he is great in the original Stand. Fuck. Forgot.
Who does he get shot by?
What's his name? Parker Lewis, right?
No, he gets shot by Sam Raimi, so.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So,
I'm so good at this.
That night, Elvis dreams deep, remembers the good old days driving through the desert, but he ends up getting up at night to go take a painful walk to the pisser. When the bugs enter through the window, they get into his chocolates, and he comically fucking fights with one, he even gets in his karate stance. He's able at one time to actually catch it in a bedpan, his own bedpan, and eventually takes a fork and stabs it into the space heater, where we get to hear this line.
Never, never fuck with the king.
I just love the Bruce Campbellisms of every time.
Like, I love, that's the part where he does the line right before he kills it. He calls it one big bitch cockroach. And I was like, hey, we only share that phrase for Restivo.
Hey, do you know that Chris Restivo is been messaging me saying that he's gonna run for president or mayor, one or the other. And I said you got to start a GoFundMe, man. I said the country needs you. So I think Chris Restivo is gonna run, which leads me to my bigger end goal game. And I know you guys I need you behind me on this one. We have to convince whatever seat that Chris says he's gonna run for. We have to convince Tom Myers to run against them, so they have to have a political debate.
Jesus. I think he really has a chance, especially with his campaign slogan, they're just a bunch of fags.
Yeah, so. That always, nothing gets behind it. Hey, he sent me his platform, right, which is so fucking hilarious. He sends me his platform, which is clearly copied and pasted off of some website that he's just like, we end this and we do that. And then at the very end, he's like, also, it's clearly he added this in at the very end. He's like, also, bars are required to be open until 4 a.m. every night, which I thought was the funniest. I'm like, everything, I was like, okay, to a certain extent, this seems like a well thought out, horrible plan, but okay, let's do that. And then, oh yeah, and bars are open until 4 a.m. That's just, he made sure that stays in his platform, which I thought was hilarious.
You need to help him whittle it down and be like, look, this is all great stuff, but I just want to know about the five plates you're running on.
Yes, you need to, there has to be five plates that you have to accomplish, right?
I'm just waiting for that phone call where he's like, what are all these protesters doing outside my house?
What, I just called the whole world a faggot and then they're gonna come here and get angry with me?
All the strippers are behind me.
So,
you know how confused though his whole like campaign would be, because there'd be the people who are like, he's bigoted and he's a piece of shit, but then when they actually look at what he sells, they'll be like, wait, maybe he's for us, I don't know. Do I hate him? Do I not hate him? And like a confused robot, their heads just explode.
Oh, God. Yes. So the king then goes to walk around to find somebody to complain about this goddamn bug problem. He ends up walking into Jack's room and finds the shrine of how much he really thinks he is John F. Kennedy. He's got pictures of like Jack Ruby and the grassy knoll and everything up around the room, but finds Jack passed out on the floor, still convinced that he's JFK. He assures him that it was Lyndon Johnson who knocked him out. And then he goes, but he's dead. He's just like, that ain't gonna stop him. Which, good, great line by Ozzy there. The next morning, we see Reggie from Phantasm. Reggie Bannister, who also plays Reggie in the movie Phantasm, is the superintendent of this place, which has always been my dream, to see Bruce Campbell and Reggie, Ash and Reggie in the same scene. So it was fun to see those two finally meet face to face. And he assures him that he'll call an exterminator. But, you know, one day, I just want that Phantasm Evil Dead crossover. They should have done it in the show at some point, right? Like, while we had the chance. Ugh, just one crossover episode where they either fight the tall man or deadites, and we just get all shotgun chainsaw action in one place.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if it ever came to anything, but at one of the shows, he actually had his own, I think, maybe name brand or a certain kind of guitar that was just for him, and I got to play his acoustic guitar, so that was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you have a video. Very friendly. You have a video of playing, jamming out with Reggie Bannister. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, I've seen that video where you're playing his guitar and stuff like that. You have it somewhere.
I remember doing a video. Boy.
There's definitely a video of it. It's pretty
cool. I am getting old.
You fucking old bitch. So the next day we see Elvis is subjected to nurse care as she creams up his dick. That is, just applies like this weird KY jelly like this, and the sound is just so fucking. It's just, I will admit, whoever ran sound on this just did a phenomenal job. All the little, it's just the perfect amount of just ridiculous sound where it's like, but at the same time subtle enough to be gross. It's not like over the top like the Greasy Strangler. It's just, it's tuned down just a little bit, and I do really love it. But as he's doing it, he starts to get a hard on, and it's pretty funny. We got this.
A doll like this handling me without warmth or emotion. 20 years ago, just 20, man, I could have made with a curly lip smile and had her eating out of my asshole.
Doctor says this cream ought to do the trick. Corticosteroids should heal the inflammation, stop the pus.
Ugh, yeah, so the nurse we haven't mentioned up until this point is played by Ella Joyce, and Ella is probably most well known for being the wife on the show, the hit Fox show Rock and Rock Live from the 90s. Jeremy, do you remember Rock and Rock Live?
Well,
Charles Dutton.
my favorite Baltimore jail resident, otherwise known as the co-star of Alien 3.
Yeah, and Gothica.
And he also directed the Corner, which was one of David Simon's other books that wasn't about homicide. So, what was I going to say?
I don't know. Only you know.
Something about dicks. Oh, anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I loved her in this. I thought she was great. But yeah, that was a particularly poignant scene for me because, again, just. The memories come flooding back. I'm like, get some story and some cream. That's a wet ass hand job.
So the nurse is kind of impressed with and she's blowing the microphone. Okay.
COVID ruins everything.
It's been a couple broadcasts.
Yeah, you're doing good. So he attributes it to being finally his heart on to finally being interested in something. Now that there's these bugs and possibly a mummy walking around, you know, I guess I'm finally starting to wake back up. Later, Jack wakes him up in the middle of the night and tells him something is amiss and that he knows that he is Elvis.
Now look, man, I had nothing to do with Dallas. And I knew neither Lee Harvey Oswald nor Jack Ruby.
Good.
May I call you Elvis instead of Sebastian?
You may.
Excellent. You wear glasses to read?
Well, I wear glasses when I really want to see.
Get them. Come on.
So he then takes him to the bathroom stall to show him something, and Elvis, you can see he starts moving around a little bit better. He looks very closely at the hieroglyphics that have been drawn on the wall.
I mean, we're investigating a scuttling in the hall, trying to figure out who attacked you last night. You bring me in here to look at stick pictures on the shithouse wall, man?
So, they do take a closer look at him, and upon examination, the translation is Pharaoh gobbles donkey not dicks, right? And then Cleopatra does the nasty, which is you know what a mummy would write on a bathroom stall. And he said he got woke up by the monster with his mouth over his asshole. And he says, you know, they could suck the soul out of any orifice. So this is a mummy that sucks the soul out of you through the asshole, which is, Ashley, you know a thing or two, right?
I was going to say, I studied all kinds of religions. I'm a former seminary school, like, pastor dropout. Like, I know all about this stuff. You eat the soul out of the ass. That is absolutely true, because that's why every time a dude tosses my salad, I go to heaven.
Seventh heaven. Nice. Now, meanwhile, outside, the nurse sees that there's some strange lights in the gardener shed, but she gets spooked by Reggie and doesn't investigate it. Tells her that there's another patient that needs an enema, and she's like, another day on the job. They do read back some more about it inside, about the soul sucker.
Can I make a comparison?
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad that I was like inexperienced growing up with my girlfriend, because like I didn't know, like, have a clue what I was doing about eating pussy.
Okay.
And I didn't even know what really a clitoris was. But I can say, and I feel kind of embarrassed about this, but it's 100% true, that I did stick my tongue into her vagina and probably didn't do a damn thing for her. So.
just in and out, yeah. Like you made your tongue a dick and you were trying
Yeah, you know, it's like it helps to actually know, just like have an actual clue of what you're actually doing. Like, here's the boxing bag, here, beat it back and forth 1,000 times, you know?
Jeremy, don't feel bad. I've had plenty of men tell me they're the best I'm ever going to have, and it's truly the absolute worst sex of my life. Oh, Jeremy, don't feel bad. I'm sure she's going to remember you forever, and it's not because of your tonguing.
Yeah.
At least you were out of the hospital after a couple of days, so.
That was one time.
And we're not the worst, probably, so.
Agreed.
So they read... So they read from Ozzy's, from Jack's pussy eating book. I mean, his ancient scribe book here. And we learn a little bit about this soul sucking mummy.
Bury some dude. And if he gets the right ten of leaves and spell set over him and such bullshit, that he can come back to life thousands of years later, man. But hold on now. To stay alive, he has to suck on the souls of the living. And then if the souls are small, his life force doesn't last long. Small. What does that mean?
Read on. No, never mind. I'll tell you myself. But first, would you like a ding-dong? Oh, I don't mean mine. I mean a chocolate ding-dong. Of course, mine would be chocolate now that I have been dyed.
You got ding-dongs, man?
What a fun! Oh God!
Can you imagine that Ozzy Davis has had so many fucking serious roles that he's like, give me this fucking black Leslie Nielsen fucking role and I fucking love it. You know, I mean, he's so fucking tired of being fucking, you know, Spike Lee's fucking serious fucking, you know, actor. You know, gosh,
I do love that he gets to be fun in this, and he does. It is, I think that's great. He is basically the black Leslie Nielsen in this movie.
Fuck yeah,
100%.
Oh, gosh,
how he.
No, go ahead.
How he delivers every line with like a straight face. I want to imagine the outtakes of this is just are a fucking 10 out of 10, right? Like, I want to see the outtake reel of this movie.
Okay. But he had such fucking gravitas before going into it. You know, it's like, no, he would never want to film like this. Well, maybe if he wants to make a complete film of himself, he might, you know. So,
but you're right, though. He takes it so seriously. You believe him, and you're always like, I feel like you're constantly waiting for something huge to be revealed, and you're just like, oh my god, he's gonna have some inside knowledge. And you're like, would you like a ding dong? And I'm like, oh. It gets me every time because I was a fat kid, obviously, and I would just shove whole ding dong. Swiss cake rolls, like it was prepping me for later in life, but I wouldn't even taste it. I would just shove it down my gullet and be like, that worked. It's like the log flume at Disney.
Oh, this is filling my emptiness. I know how that feels.
Yeah.
I love that.
Around your shit river.
Yeah. So the gang theorizes that the reason that he wrote it on the bathroom stall is because this fucking mummy is just using it as like his buffet. They're easy souls to get. They give him just enough life, but he also has to shit them out. So he has to take, he shits souls out every single day, the waste. So he's using the bathroom to do that. And Ozzy's like, he's not going to suck my shit out. He's not going to suck my soul out. And next they hear a sound in the hallway. Elvis goes to investigate, claiming there is no mummy from Egypt out there. But Jack says, nice knowing you, Elvis. And sure as shit, as he walks out there, there is a fucking Bubba Hotep himself taking a long walk down the hallway towards Elvis. And as he walks by, they make eye contact, and he has a fucking flashback throughout the history of this mummy's life of him getting fucking embalmed and then put in a sarcophagus and then being in a bus that crashes, which brings him to the U.S. and where we are currently today. Yes.
Can we question the gastrointestinal fortitude of the Walking Dead or mummies?
Okay, let's question away. Do it.
I mean, in Walking Dead, they definitely eat flesh, but does their do they actually shit after they get enough human flesh, or do they get backed up? Like, what, you know, what if they back up so much human flesh that they can't vomit it up, or if it's just stuck in their mouth?
Well, I assume it's a lot like me. It just kind of falls out of the rectum and just doesn't do anything. But also, if you think about zombies, though, they can eat it, but like it doesn't. You're usually like skin and bone. Sometimes, like some of their rib cages or their abdominal areas are missing. I'm sure they could literally put an arm in and it'll just slide right out the front.
Yeah, or maybe their anatomy is more like they don't poop. They just need that to like keep. Is upkeep. It like immediately just goes into their system and like, oh, I'm allowed to be a regular flesh sucker for now, like another 48 hours to a week.
Well, I have the answer to my own question because I only throw it out there.
Okay.
Is that part of the nature of the zombies? Like, I have to have warm, living flesh. But then after eating it for like 5 to 10 minutes, then they know it's dead and they don't eat that much anyway. So.
Oh, has to be living. Otherwise, it's no good.
That's actually really smart, Jeremy. Like, that's a great theory. You've also bummed me the fuck out because it sounds like my dating life.
Oh, Ashley. I don't know. I just realized. That's all. The guy who thinks that he's the Lone Ranger follows him down the hallway, busting fake caps at him the whole time, who we hadn't really mentioned up until this point, but he collapses as a part of an apparent heart attack. Another one gone, but his soul was intact, so that's pretty good that he was able to live through that.
Did we mention the deleted character that was also insane from this movie?
Who's that?
The old woman who considered herself John Dillinger.
Oh, no, I didn't even know that she was deleted out of the movie. Tell me more about John Dillinger.
I think it was either the crazy lady or some other crazy lady they said in the IMDb, so I don't even know exactly who it was.
The next morning they have to explain to the office staff about how the Lone Ranger guy died, and here's a little bit of that.
Once again, we got scolded. And this time we got quizzed about what had happened to Kemosabe, but neither of us told the truth.
I mean, who was going to believe a couple of nuts? Elvis and Jack Kennedy explaining that Kemosabe was gunning for a mummy in cowboy duds? Some kind of Bubba Hotep.
Titular line!
There you go. The titular line of the movie drops right there.
Did you read the only stipulation that Bruce Campbell had for the movie?
No.
He asked Coscarelli, "Are you really going to show the penis?"
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that was like my first role with playing Gacy? I said, "Look, I'm fine with all this gay sex as long as my penis doesn't actually touch another man's ass."
Okay, so, nice.
That was my stipulation.
It's so important, Jeremy, that you stick to your convictions. Fuck those dead kids and their fucking molestations, but don't you dare put a man's ass near my dick. You said.
I didn't care if the actors were dead either. I mean, come on. You know, you want to use a corpse for the scene?
You're a man of conviction, and that means so much to me. You should run for office, Jeremy. I love it.
Yeah, I'll tell all my people. It's like, yeah, I had gay sex movies, whatever. Everybody, being an actor is part of. So,
the next day, the nurse says he needs to apply his dick cream. He goes, "I'll put it on my own crankshaft, thank you." So, Bruce Campbell then goes, uses his walker and investigates around the yard, trying to find some clues to the mummy, and does find one near the river where he finds where the bus crashed, because he can see the fucking license plate floating there for God knows how long. It's also weird that a piece of metal is floating at the edge of the river. Whatever, you know, it's a movie. We'll accept it. He also accepts that he probably does have dick cancer and applies the lotion to his junk. It really takes it out of him, and he kind of wishes that he had nurse help for this, which is, I thought, was pretty funny. And he lays down to watch some TV in his room, and it's an Elvis marathon. Oh, how wonderful. And Jack comes in to verify all of Elvis's vision is true, that some guy stole the sarcophagus and crashed the bus right over yonder. And now that he's crashed, he's probably freed from his sarcophagus and won't stop until he is destroyed, which means and then we have this little bit of a rallying cry from Bruce Campbell here.
"I'll be damned if I let some foreign graffiti-writing, soul-sucking son of a bitch in an oversized cowboy hat and boots take my friend's souls and shit them down the visitor's toilet."
That's like, it's right on par with Independence Day, the president's speech at that point. That's where I rank that. Put it right in there with that.
Oh, shit.
So,
you know, it's one thing to be like an ass-sucking soul sucker, but to, you know, write shit on bathroom walls is pretty bad, too.
Yes. So he picks up his phone and then calls over to his buddy JFK, Jack, in the other room and says,
"Hello.
Mr. Kennedy, ask not what your rest home can do for you. Ask what you can do for your rest home."
"Hey, you're copying my best lines."
"And let me paraphrase one of my own. Let's take care of business."
"Just what are you getting at, Elvis?"
"I think you know what I'm getting at, Mr. President. We're going to kill us a mummy."
So it kind of brings me to this thing, and it almost pains me to say this. The one thing I don't like about this movie is that it kind of makes one of my favorite films, The Mummy with Brendan Fraser, and its follow-up, The Scorpion King. It makes The Mummy seem like he's kind of weak, that he could be killed by two elderly people in a thing, when it took a fully able-bodied Brendan Fraser to overcome such insurmountable odds. That's the one thing I really don't like about it, if I'm going to be honest.
Well, I mean, my favorite parallel between both movies is the idea in Hollywood that a white person is always the savior.
There we go. Even the black guy is the white savior. That's what the... I like it because they use the trope of the magical Negro, but they're like, oh yeah, but also he's white, just so you guys know.
can, can, Can I make mention of has anybody watched the new Stand yet?
I haven't. I've heard it's really, really good, though. Tommy was telling me about it the other day. He said he's very impressed with it.
No.
It's not good. Not. You don't like the new Stand.
No, the only thing I do like about it is the new Tom Cullen who plays the retard. They found some guy who is almost like a cookie cutter John Goodman, but younger.
Oh shit!
Okay, I'm into it.
So he's extra tardy.
And of course, they have to the real evil bitch who tries to mess with Nick Andros is of course the one who really uses the retard word and makes him cry because of it, because she's such a cunt. So.
Nice.
Oh, so did they get someone else besides Shawnee Smith? So she didn't come back for that?
No. There was some other new young blonde bitch they were playing. It was pretty. She played it okay, but not as good as Shawnee. I don't think any of the characters compare to the original Stand actors at all. So.
No, I agree. I'm just sad, though. You're saying a big, dumb blonde is in that role? Why the fuck didn't I get a call?
Yeah, come on. Hire Ashley Pontius. She needs the work.
I can't think of any character that even compares to the original characters of casting. I think the casting was the weakest of all of the new Stand, but at least the cinematography's better. So.
I heard Tommy said the biggest upgrade in this is how the Captain Trips virus works, because it's not just like, oh yeah, you cough and slowly die. He's like, no, you cough and then immediately you're fucking spitting blood everywhere and just like immediately your face is all gnarled out and shit.
Oh, you get like a giant goiter, like what's his name, who is the evil counterpart from Legion, but was only invisible.
Oh, okay. Gone.
You know what I'm talking about?
No,
the potato head guy, the potato head creature.
Okay, I still don't know. I'm sorry. I just
knew Legion. Damn it. Anyway,
I just want to move on. I just want to move on. Okay.
Just want to finish the damn podcast.
I just want to. I want to finish
God
this.
Damn
okay.
It.
So they weapon.
Get back to my kids.
My children love me. It's our Sunday. All right. So they weapon up. They get some matches. Make a makeshift flamethrower out of like this gas, like one of those pesticide sprayers. He fills it with gasoline. Elvis, of course, adorned in his old rhinestone jumpsuit. They have scissors and then some words from a book of magic to see if that'll work. And then they kind of look at each other and. Elvis asks Jack this.
Say, Jack. Do we know what the hell we're doing, man?
No. But they say that fire cleanses evil. Let's just hope that they, whoever they are, is right.
Check on that, too. All right, synchronized watches.
So they head out to go battle this fucking mummy. But right before, he does ask him what it was like to fuck Marilyn Monroe. And he goes, he was just like, that's classified information. But between you and me, wow. I also
typical
love that.
Man.
I also love that.
Please don't pass over the hallway scene.
Where they're going down the hallway?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any audio for that, but if you'd like to share.
Just the fact that they have that slow motion scene of Elvis with the walker and JFK in the electric wheelchair going down the hallway to do their mission.
Yes. It feels it's shot very much like that scene in Apollo 13 where they're getting onto the spaceship, like the slow moving pan. Yeah, it is fun. I did.
It's like the poor man's X-Men.
Oh, Charles, you haven't beat the juggernaut with my magic helmet. Damn it, Charles.
So we're going to hop right into the action. They go outside and they see the fucking Bubba Hotep. He proceeds to fight him with the walker and karate gestures, never actually using real karate. He then disappears behind a tree. Jack goes to flush him out in his wheelchair, but it's too late. Hotep knocks him clear out of the chair. And the chair goes fucking AWOL and starts just driving around by itself. Elvis is able to hop on the hover round and grabs his makeshift flamethrower. And is able to spray him with a bunch of gas and lights him ablaze. But it doesn't seem to be working too well.
Come and get it, you undead sack of shit.
So he then gets on top of him, and I believe he's the mummy speaks to him, but the best way to describe it is like the subtitles are hieroglyphics that then fucking transform that says "Eat dog dick of Anubis, you ass," which is strong. You know, in ancient Egypt, that was one of the highest insults you could ever say to somebody.
Who's Anubis again?
I believe the god of cum. I think it is. Pretty sure.
Anubis. The afterlife, which is just nothing but cum.
Hotep begins to like choke him with a stick and stuff, and when he has him on fire, he does try to read this spell at him right here.
You nasty thing from beyond the dead. No matter what you think or do, good things will never come to you. And if evil is your black design, you can bet the goodness of the light ones will kick your bad behind. That's it? That's the chant against evil from the Book of Souls? Oh yeah, right, boss. And what kind of decoder ring comes with that, man? Shit, don't even rhyme well.
So he's much more pissed off and gets up. They end up fighting down to the riverside and rolling down the hill. Elvis has his fucking rib poking out of his belly at this point, and the canister of gas is pouring all around Boba Hotep's feet. He lets loose a final punch and then lights him ablaze as the mummy is really on fire this time. And you can see like the soul starting to leave the guy's body as he collapses into the river, which it seems like he needed to not do that to be fully dead, but whatever. And Elvis looks up and says some words with his dying breath.
I felt something inside grating against something soft. I felt like a water balloon with a hole poked in it. I was going down for the last count, and I knew it. Well, I still have my soul. It's still mine.
And he looks all up. Mine. He looks up at the sky, and the stars realign to say, "All is well," for Elvis.
Folks up there, Shady Rest. They have theirs too, and they're gonna keep them. Every single one.
And he ends with a thank you. Thank you very much. As he dies. And that brings us to an end of Boba Hotep, a wonderful movie that had somehow been off my radar for so long. Ashley, what are your final thoughts on Boba Hotep?
I'm a fan. You know, like I said, I kind of wish there's a little more gore, a little more action. But yeah, it's very much a Bruce Campbell film, and I'm glad I finally watched it. So it gets my approval.
I loved it, too. Jeremy, Boba Hotep, what do you think?
Ozzie Davis swan song. Last movie. God damn, I'm happy that he made it.
Is this... This was Ozzie Davis's farewell to everything, was this movie?
I think so.
Oh, no. Maybe the mummy...
I think he died like a year or two after, but yeah. I mean, it's so much better than, Jungle Fever. So.
Let's see. Well, no, he worked on the show The L Word from 2004 to 2005.
Well, that's not a movie.
And Badass. He was in the movie Badass with Danny Trejo after this as well.
Was he a transgender lesbian in The L Word movie show?
Yes. Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
I used to be a woman. I'm Ozzie Davis.
But no, I really enjoyed the fucking hell out of this movie. So good pick, Ash. This was Ashley's pick this week. So we appreciate you stepping up and making us finally fucking take this piece of media in.
But she's got a taste for it almost as I'll say, I won't compare, but yeah, I'd say just as much as our gal Lisa Buss with the Movie Society. So
that is true. Lisa Buss, shout outs to her. She's a top fan, yeah. Top rated listener of the program, and always gives the fucking fire suggestions. Maybe we should have Lisa on sometime. Chat.
I asked her if she was going to make a choice last time, but she didn't make any suggestions. So
okay, well, maybe we can get her. Maybe we can get her on the program sometime. That would be good. I think it would be good for us to have her on once.
Absolutely.
She's like a Jersey girl or something, right?
Yeah, as you commented on her Jersey accent, very much so.
Was she on an episode in the past? I don't even remember.
She interviewed some of our stars.
Oh, yeah. For Monster Mania, she was our official interviewer because it helps to be able to talk to, like, Doug Bradley if you have tits. I'll tell you that. And mine don't work, usually.
Well, that's when our Callahan actually interviewed Doug Bradley, though.
Yeah. And also got groped by what's-his-name from Clockwork Orange. Michael McDonald. Yeah, Malcolm McDowell was so excited. He loved Kim so much. You can just see he looked 20 years younger next to her.
Well, you know, when I think about all my droogs, you know, I like to do some Doobie Brothers hits and everything, you know.
I always think Michael McDonald sings like the Swedish Chef. Is that just me?
Some chips and some lard. Then I knew I had died. And she buys it with some of the Clockwork Orange, which surely know.
The strawberry mask, the beer game, the beer in the beer.
Oh, guys, stop. I'm on my last pair of clean panties for the day. Like, don't.
Ash, where can people find you at coming up?
You can always find me at Ashley Pontius Laughs on all social media, and you can also catch me doing a Zoom roast January 16th.
So fucking yeah, check that shit out. Ash is always great to watch, and always a great fill-in for Laugh Finder. We love having you on the program all the time. Just, we'll just put you on every week. Let's stop playing this game. I'll send you the invite early Wednesday. You can catch all things Air Comedy, aircomedy.com. Make sure you drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, Stitcher, and all the bullshit, and buy some merch from our store. Jeremy, take us out!
I'm Elvis, and it's creepy.